So tonight we're joined by Amanda Smith. Amanda, do you want to introduce yourself?
My name's Amanda Smith. As you said, I'm a community pharmacist in Halifax. I've worked in community pharmacy since I qualified, which is 21 years ago now. And during that time, I've worked in the same pharmacy. Started off as a second pharmacist, and now I'm the manager.
Very good. So you're running the pharmacy at the moment?
Yes, yeah.
Cool. So I'll just give a bit of background about the story, about what happened. So last week, a chap called Anjum Zafar, age 42, was sentenced to 40 months in prison for robbery and 6 months for possession of a bladed article at Leeds Crown Court. He used a kitchen knife during the attack on your pharmacy, Amanda, to terrify the staff. And forced you guys to hand over, I believe, some prescription drugs and a small amount of cash. And that's basically why we're chatting. Have you spoken about this before?
Just kind of to people at work, really. Well, I tend to type more than speak to people. I tend to talk a lot on Twitter and WhatsApp and things like that. So I have typed it out, but I've not actually talked about it that much, I suppose.
Do you want to tell us what happened?
It was fairly quiet. It was August. It was during that really hot weather. So I think everybody was out in the gardens. They weren't in the pharmacy. And then one of my staff was on the second computer that I had, and she could see the door. The rest of us were sort of working, and the girl that could see the door just suddenly went, "Oh," and we all looked around at her, and suddenly this man just walked straight into the dispensary. He was dressed all in black, head to toe, lots of leather clothes. He'd got a scarf around his face, hat on, hoodie on with a hood up, so we could just see his eyes and his nose. And then he had a massive, it seemed massive to me, massive kitchen knife in his hand. I think it was about 8-inch blade, and a JD Sports bag in the other hand. And he just sort of shouted to us, "Open the drugs cabinet, open it now." And it was just really, surreal, really.
Just going to say, I saw the, you know, I know you shared a video online of the CCTV, and it looks like something out of a TV program or something.
Yeah.
It's not real. I mean, how did it feel at that moment? What was going through your mind?
Well, I just looked at him and I thought, is this really happening? It was so an unusual thing to happen, unexpected, and it did feel like I was watching it from afar, like I was watching it on television or something. It was really weird. two of the girls that managed to get out, they just ran. They got straight outside and they went to the news agents next door to get some help, which left myself and one of the other dispensers, Denise, in the pharmacy. We've always been told if anybody comes in and asks for anything, just let them have it. Don't argue. Our safety is more important. So I just got my keys. I said, "I'll get my keys." And I got them, and he said, "Nobody press any alarms." So I just said, no, nobody will press any alarms. I says, "It's just round the back, CD cabinet." So took him round to the CD cabinet. We've actually got two, a small one and a large one. So I just showed him the small one, and I just opened the door and sort of stepped back a little bit. And he went to have a look in the cabinet. There was some bottles of methadone that measured out for the weekend. I took those and some fentanyl patches.
Goodness.
Yeah.
and was he aggressive, like, or was he?
Not really. And he spoke aggressively when he was like instructions what to do, but he didn't actually sort of stick the knife in anybody's face, if you like. He had it in his hand, but he didn't actually directly threaten anyone with it. I think if he'd have done that, it would have been a lot more terrifying.
How was he caught in the end?
It was just luck, really, because obviously we couldn't recognise him because he was so covered up, and our cameras couldn't pick up any features. He was wearing gloves. He hardly touched anything. He got us to put items into his bag for him. So, but as he left, because it was so warm outside and he looked so unusual, he got rid of the clothes that he was wearing, the scarf and the gloves. He threw them away, and somebody, I think someone saw them, saw him putting them into the bin, or they found them soon afterwards, and they reported it to the police, and they managed to get some DNA from the scarf, which identified him, because he did have previous convictions, so it was on the police records.
Goodness me, Amanda. And what happened after that then? So he was obviously taken into custody, and then, I mean, that was back in August, so we're in mid-January now, so it's taken until mid-January. Did you guys have to be interviewed and stuff like that?
They interviewed us straight afterwards. I mean, we spent most of the afternoon giving statements. I mean, I'm not sure when they actually caught him. It was a good few weeks afterwards before they actually caught him. And he pleaded not guilty at first, but I think they had enough evidence that they could keep him in. So he was kept on remand, so we didn't have to sort of worry about him coming into the shop or anything like that. We just did the statements on the day, and then the police did come back an odd time or two just to tie up some loose ends. Just things like, we didn't know immediately what he'd taken from the CD cabinet. But then I did a balance check the day after, so we could find out exactly what was missing. So they wanted to add in things like that to the statement. Luckily, because we couldn't actually identify him, we didn't have to go to court. They used the evidence of the CCTV footage showed that he was actually in the pharmacy. And then they used the, apparently they could see the scarf in enough detail on the CCTV footage to tie it to him, and the DNA sample. So, plus I did give a bit of a description of the scarf, because I was trying to take notes of what he was wearing, but it's quite difficult when you're in those circumstances to remember things.
Yeah, but I did notice in your quote that you gave me for the story, you did say that you were, time slowed down, and when he was in there, you know, when he was emptying the safe, you looked over his shoulder and you were thinking, right, I better remember what he's wearing, and I better remember what height he is and stuff like that. So
yeah, so it's always, I mean, if you've ever, I mean, we've been involved with the police for, like, when things have happened previously, sort of maybe out on the street or something like that, and they always want descriptions, and I'm rubbish at remembering the details. So I thought, I must remember, must pay attention and look at what he's wearing, because, you know, I need to know. They'll be asking me later. So he had a really distinctive pattern on the scarf, so I did sort of take notice of that, but then I just kept looking at the knife in his hand, and my dispenser Denise, she said the same. We both could describe that knife in great detail, but the rest of it, yeah, not so much.
Well, I don't know whether it's your pharmacist eye for detail or whatever, but you certainly did your team proud anyway. And how are they now? So are you nervous at all working in the shop, or are they okay?
It was, yeah, we were quite nervous the first few days afterwards. Everybody was sort of on edge, I would say, and it was quite, I think everybody dealt with it differently. I mean, the girls that ran out, they were really upset because they'd left us, so then they felt guilty for going, But I said, you know, I mean, they went to get help. And plus, if they had stayed, there'd have been more people in there. It's only a small shop. It could have made him be more on edge. So you don't know, do you? So I said it was probably for the best that they got out.
Goodness me. No, yeah. It must have been incredibly frightening for them as well.
Yeah, yeah.
So he got 40 months in prison for robbery and 6 months for possession of the blade. So how does that make you feel? Do you think that's long enough? It doesn't to me, to be fair, without leading you into an answer.
Well, no, I mean, would have liked, the thing is with sentences, if he was doing the full sentence, then it probably wouldn't be so bad, but they only tend to do about half of it, don't they? So, I mean, the police, when they rang up to tell us, she was disappointed as well. She said, she says he'll probably be out in just over a year from now, because he's already done 5 months. So, plus the fact that he's got previous convictions, he's already been in prison before. You think, you know, what do you have to do to get locked up for any length of time? I don't know, but it didn't seem long enough, really.
Yeah, but, I'm sure there's, I mean, we must, you have to kind of bow to the you know, the processes and the legal system and have faith in it, I guess, but certainly when someone breaks the law so potentially violently and, you know, inexplicably, then it's difficult to to accept that, I guess. So one thing I wanted to say to you, and I'm sure like lots of people who have just listened to this or have read the article, like, I mean, I think you're very modest. I know you quite well, and you know you're very modest. And but in that moment when you were, you know, I could see you on the CCTV, I thought, my goodness, what quiet courage to just calmly go and get your keys, you know, protect your team. You were the last to leave, you know, like the captain of the ship, last to leave the ship and stuff. And I, to be honest, I just really admire you for that, actually. And I bet many others do, and I hope you know, talking it through has helped. But listen, thank you very much. Thank you for coming on and telling your story, and you know, regards to your team as well. A lot of courage there, and they've obviously had to cope with quite a lot in the last few months. So quite nice that it's, you know, finally finished, isn't it?
Yeah, we're glad it's all done now, so hopefully that'll be it. We can go back to being nice and boring again.
Boring's good. There's nothing wrong with boring.
Boring's good.
I totally appreciate when my life is boring. That's just absolutely fine. All right. Thanks, Amanda.
Okay, thank you.
We'll see you soon. Okay. Speak to you soon, hopefully.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye.